back to the Willow Pod. I'm Skye, and today I've got with me Gemma again from Crossroads Derbyshire.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So today we're going to be discussing barriers to leaving domestic abusive relationships. Are there any thoughts that you have just off the top of your head around barriers to leaving, Gemma?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important topic to discuss, and I think most of the listeners will have heard something along the lines of domestic abuse or abusive relationships. Why don't they just leave?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so you hear it all the time. I think it's important for us to discuss today the any number of reasons that are a barrier to leaving those relationships. If you haven't been in that situation, or if you haven't worked in domestic abuse services or with people who have or are experiencing it, then perhaps you haven't given it a great deal of thought, and yeah, hopefully that we can open some people's eyes.
Definitely. I know it's something that we cover during our training sessions. We sort of cover it because it is something that's definitely just says, well, why don't they just leave if they're unhappy? Why don't they just leave? And it's not always that simple. I mean, maybe some people do get that lucky that they can just up and leave, but I'd say more than 9 times out of 10, it's just not that easy for people, or even that simple for people.
Absolutely, and you're totally right. It's not that simple, but I can see why people think that way, because it's a way to protect yourself. Because if you assume that you can just leave an abusive relationship, if you know someone can just leave an abusive relationship if they're in one, then it's less scary.
No, I know exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah, so if abusive relationships are easy to leave, then it just makes them less scary, so people can just go about their business. You can just live your life.
It is said that the leaving part of being in a domestic abuse relationship is not only the scariest for people, but they're most at harm during that stage. I mean, there's a lot of cases where there have been people who've tried to leave, and horrendously they have ended up being killed during the leaving stage. So it is the hardest for people to do is to leave. And definitely if people don't just see that it is just that easy to leave, then they don't realize that there is all this behind it that puts that person at such a high risk.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that that's one of the major barriers to leaving, is the fear of what will happen if you do leave that person. And in our line of work, so Crossroads Derbyshire is a domestic abuse service, and we help clients who are ready to leave, in the process of leaving, and have already left.
Yeah,
and it doesn't just stop because you leave a relationship. You know, there are lots of ways, lots of strategies that abusers can use to continue the abuse.
Yes,
even once a relationship has ended. And you know, they're fearful for a reason. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with the statistic of 2 women a week are killed as a result of domestic abuse, domestic violence incidents. Well, they are committed by a current or ex-partner.
Yes, yeah.
And yeah, that the former partner aspect of that statistic is included, because it is the most, like you say, it is the most risky time.
For a victim. Because I guess they can live with it for however long, and then if it is, especially if it is a physical, like a violent domestic abuse situation, then yeah, that is very risky whilst they're in that relationship, and the risk of it would be high whilst they're in it. But then again, leaving that, it just heightens it even more.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, add in children to that equation.
Yeah.
And then you're not only fearful for what will happen to yourself, but also what might happen to your children.
the children. Yeah, and then there's also, I know there's like the pets, and Emily quite often says about, like, if somebody has like a horse, for example, you can't take a horse to like a refuge, can you? Like, what happens to that horse if you try and leave, or any sort of animal, or even somebody who doesn't have children and say that pet has been their child almost, you'd feel the same way, like, what do I do and how can I leave whilst I've got them?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got that sense of companionship and responsibility of being who is dependent upon you.
Yeah, definitely. And then there's also, I guess, if the perpetrator has been in your family for 30, 40 years, however many years, but they've been part of your family for such a long time, and the rest of your family know nothing else but them being in your family, I imagine you may feel as in you don't want to break that family up. Like, say, if you've got children as well, and that's that the perpetrator is their father, you don't want to be the person to break that up, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess we're getting at guilt. That feeling of guilt is such a huge barrier to leaving, absolutely. Like you say, guilt of breaking up a family, of ending a relationship, guilt even, you know, for your abusers, feelings, emotions.
Yeah.
Maybe even shame, embarrassment, you know, especially like, I guess, somebody who's been in a relationship for 30, 40 years. We're talking about an older generation, and historically, you know, domestic abuse is something that was just dealt with in the home.
Yeah.
And people wouldn't get involved with. And yeah, you know, attitudes are changing, but there's still a lot of shame and embarrassment around being in an abusive relationship, you know, being abused.
Definitely. I think that also links back to sort of like rural communities, and they're usually very, very tight knit, and everyone always knows everyone else's business. And it's just the sort of, it's probably the, I don't want everyone to know my business, I guess, the shame and thinking, oh my days, what will people think? And
yeah, interestingly, that considering the rural location there, you'd be concerned about what people might think. But even if you're not, there's a huge reduction in the number of people that you even have to turn to, because you know, when we the advice that is out there about, you know, what, where to seek help, what to do if you think that you're in an abusive relationship, it's speak to a GP, you know, speak to a trusted person, tell your pharmacist. Like, people have received, professionals have received some training. But if you're in a rural community, you know, your GP might also be a good friend of your family. Like you say, we'll probably know a lot of people.
Yeah, so everyone knows it.
Yeah.
But then I guess that leads on to as well, is that a lot of people don't recognise that they're in that situation. So it's they're in denial that they are in that situation, and they think that perhaps it's just normal, perhaps it's just a stage they're going through. And so it's sort of a big barrier to people leaving that situation, I guess, is people not realising that they're in that situation to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. And that can either be, you know, understanding domestic abuse and being in denial that you're in it yourself because of not wanting to face that reality, which is totally understandable, or, you know, a lack of education on the matter, lack of awareness. It, you know, you might not even realise that the relationship that you're in is not a healthy one.
Yeah. Well, and I know, for example, that I mentioned in previous podcasts that my parents are of the generation where they sort of don't really know what, not so much they don't know what it is, they're not really aware of it. So I imagine there's a lot of people of older generations that, because this has been something that's not talked about, especially, I don't know if it is just within rural communities more than urban communities, but it's something that's never been talked about. So I guess if they were in that situation, they wouldn't realise perhaps that they're in that situation. They just may think that, I guess it's the whole thing of not being educated on it. They may think that, yeah, it's just a bit of a blip, and, oh, that's just the way he or she is.
Yeah, absolutely. And just thinking about like traditional beliefs systems as well, you know, as we're on the topic of older generations, the like loyalty to your partner,
yeah,
like not wanting to break that loyalty, which is still a very current
belief
that gets us thinking about loyalty in relationships. So traditionally in a married couple, it's your wedding vows. It's also like traditional gender roles. So in our organisation, we recognise that, you know, however you identify, anybody can be a victim and anybody can be a perpetrator. But domestic abuse is a gendered issue, and part of that stems from traditional gender roles.
Yeah.
So it's harder to recognise that what's going on isn't right, because it's been normalised almost that like you just have to like please your partner.
Yeah. In fact, that sort of makes me remember that somebody once said to me that they were told when they were younger, and their relationship, it wasn't a domestic abuse relationship, but it was a relationship where they weren't 100% happy with where they were, and they were told by their parents that you'd made your bed, now you've got to lie in it. That was one of them. And you just got to put up and shut up. And it just sort of, I feel like that is an older generation that's been told to. Whereas nowadays, it's sort of gobsmacking that someone would say that. I guess, yeah, it was in a completely different situation, so it's not the same. But like, you can imagine if you were to go, you were the victim and you went to tell somebody about it. Say it was your parent that you went to tell about it, and they sort of turn around and say that. You're going to be ashamed of that, but then you're also going to be in that denial part again, because you're going to be thinking, oh, well, is this just normal? Have I quite literally just got to put up with this because I've made my bed, I've got to lie in it? And it's sort of, it goes back to the generation part of, and people being not educated the same way, and that people, it's always been that something like that stays within your house, and that it's your problem, you've got to deal with it almost. So I guess it's, people are just being so ashamed, I guess, but it's almost something that, well, it is something that it needs to be changed to be not normalised, but something that people aren't scared to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. At the moment, it's such a taboo topic, and hopefully it's moving away from that, but it feels like a really slow process.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely needs to change. I think if we, like, just to focus on the gender roles for a minute, I think girls, like from a young age, girls are brought up to take care of others, and even, you know, to the point of always putting others' needs before yourself.
Yeah, and definitely.
When that's internalised, normalised from such a young age, it is going to affect how you, what you consider normal relationship behaviour as you grow up.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's also, like, you can see it from the complete flip side as well. So, like, you think of, like, a boy or man, you think of when they're younger, they're taught to be manly and masculine and to sort of just get on with things. Now, say it's the male that's the victim and they're in a domestic abuse relationship. Now, can you imagine, like, them going and trying to get the help because they've been taught that it is normal for a male to just get on with things and to be masculine? That would sort of, like, belittle, I guess, their masculinity for them.
Yeah, it's toxic masculinity is what you're describing. Yeah. And, yeah, it's that, like, no, lack of space for men and boys to share their feelings, to show, you know, what would be considered a weakness. And absolutely, for male victims, it's an extra level of shame, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I know that I have a male friend and he doesn't really talk about his emotions ever, and I actually once asked like, why don't you? And he said when he was younger, he was brought up that as a boy, you don't talk about your feelings. So I think it really is something that I feel like we always end up going back to this. It's something that needs to be changed, how people are not brought up, but taught. So I guess it's not just in schools, but I guess it's also at home as well, like how people are brought up and they're brought into, I guess, as you said, the gender roles, of that it's okay for a female to do this, but it's not okay for a male to do this, and then vice versa.
Yeah, roles can be too prescriptive and it doesn't help anybody.
No. Well, yes. In fact, that would be a very good question for you, I feel, is that how would you like things to be changed or worked on within this whole topic of domestic abuse and helping people to leave? Is that putting you two on the spot?
That's massively putting me on the spot.
Is there anything that you feel very passionately about that you would hope that in the future would be able to be changed?
Yeah, I think education is key.
Yeah.
I think raising awareness and people, you know, getting that education around what are considered healthy and unhealthy relationship behaviours, focusing on consent for, you know, relationship aspects of your relationship, not just on the sexual side of things. Like, I think that education is key. I think people need to be well informed, to be educated about what are considered healthy and unhealthy relationship behaviours, whatever side you're on, to know what to expect in a healthy relationship and how to behave yourself in one. Thinking about control and coercive behaviour, as that's really in the spotlight at the moment with regards to changes in the law. Now the law has changed, but it seems to be a really slow process to get people to come forward and to get those convictions. And I think that's because there is still a lack of awareness in the public about what it is and when it can be reported. So yeah, I think raising awareness, changing attitudes, listening to people who have had those experiences and taking that on board.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Exactly what you said is exactly how I think and feel. That I do think it's definitely the education and people just being aware. I guess that's why that we do our training as well, is just spreading the awareness, I feel, is just so, so important. But I feel like teaching people from a young age is also very, very important.
Yeah, I agree. We've had some really successful programs and currently run some very successful programs in schools for young people that focus on healthy relationships, consent, managing your emotions. But yeah, it needs to be much more widely done. And like you said before, it just needs to become normalized in conversation, that it shouldn't be a taboo subject. We should be educating younger people about what to expect in relationships, in a healthy relationship, and how to behave in one yourself and how to manage that yourself. I think looking at the bigger picture and thinking back to our previous podcast, language is so important. So when we're talking about domestic abuse, unhealthy relationships, to also really carefully consider the language that is used and to make sure that it's not victim blaming in any way. So for example, we use phrases like putting themselves at risk, putting themselves in this situation, finding yourself in an abusive relationship. But that kind of language really needs to shift to a person has been abused, has been exploited. You know, we use so many passive sentences, you know, this has happened to a person, but no, it was done to a person. So, you know, a perpetrator has abused a person, a perpetrator has killed their partner. So yeah, that kind of links back to our previous podcast. But yes, in the bigger picture, I think that's changing attitudes, massively through the language that we use and in the education.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that pretty much brings us to an end, I do believe. I feel like we have touched on a lot of very, very important topics, I think it'd be very, very interesting for the listeners to hear this, and maybe for a lot of people it's sort of the realization that there are a lot of barriers to leaving, so, and hopefully we can help change things.
We didn't even talk about half the barriers as well. We didn't even mention money, location,
so it really is just a massive part for people who end up in a domestic abuse relationship. I'm saying it exactly how you said not to say it as well, actually. I feel like it's so important, the language. It links so much back to the last podcast. It's just the language that we are so used to using.
Yeah, it's so ingrained, is now formed as habit, isn't it? It's because that's what we read, that's what we hear.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast again with us. Always brilliant to have you on here. So
thank you very much for having me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Bye.